had her own door. But I had to wait till Mum flipped the driver's seat forward to let me out on her side. "And 'cause I'm standing there anyway," she says, "I may as well hold the door open while she gets the shopping bags out." The bags were next to me, in the place where my sister used to sit. Lisa had moved in with her family that spring. Nobody had a clue where they'd come from or why they had to move here. Maybe they needed more room, Mum said, because they had four kids, and that was a load more than most families. We were actually sitting on the low wall with the others when their moving van came around the corner. I had plucked a bunch of forget-me-nots from the common near us, but threw them away when my sister asked what I was doing with them. Mum had baked a cake in the big baking tray. "Welcome to Violet Lane," it said on top in thick brown chocolate icing, but "two" and "lane" were in yellow. The yellow looked mad against the brown, and we followed them out to their garden and sat on the grass all full of daisies, after Lisa's mum asked us if we wanted to. Then she went and got some rugs and blankets and lemonade. Before we headed off on our summer holidays, we let Lisa in on our secret games, and probably we should never have done that. That's what Carsten said anyway, afterwards. We never played them in or near front gardens, or out on the street. Only on the common, where the grass grew to our knees. All the parents and adults told us to keep away from there, because it was somebody's property or something, though there's never been a building there. But we went anyway, as soon as we could after school. Sometimes we'd take turns squatting down, closing our eyes, then seriously breathing in and out through our mouths. First 20 times, really deep and slowly, then 20, really, really quick. Then jumping up fast and seriously holding our breath. You fell backwards then, into the arms of the one standing ready behind you, who squeezed you really tight with their arms around you, and then put their fists hard into your breast cage. Just there where your ribs meet, the place that's hard to find in girls that have started to get breasts. But it was usually the boys who stood behind them. Then you were let slump to the ground very carefully and slowly. If you were lucky, you disappeared for a minute. "It was a bit like dying," said Carsten, who stole smokes and sweets over at the little shop. Porno mags as well. None of us asked him how he knew. Sometimes nothing happened, so we just lay there looking up at the sky and cracking up laughing at the weight in our chests, like when you run too fast or for too long, but without a stitch in your side or anything, and loads better. When our parents got home, we were back in the street. Mostly, the adults were in the backyards looking after the youngest kids. If we were playing tennis, we tied a rope to the handlebars of two standing bicycles on either side of the road to make a net. If a car came, one of the kids from the classes below us at school had to run and put the bicycles down so the car could pass. Last year, it was me that had to put the bicycles down, and it was me that had to go home earlier in the evenings as well. But when I had pyjamas on, I was allowed to nip out again for a bit. So I'd slip through the gap in the hedge so the others wouldn't see me, and down to Hiller's to get a good night story at her place. Even though Hiller was a bit too young to be my friend, and I was too big, because I can read myself, no problem. In Hiller's house, they got coffee in the morning, plus toast and jam. Then coffee again in the evenings with cupcakes and biscuits. Her mum stayed at home all day, and if she'd known what we got up to on the common, she would have said something, definitely. I didn't know what she did during the winter, but in summer, she'd lie on the sunbed in the garden. It had big orange and white flowers on it, just sunbathing. She was brown by the time we got to May, and black by August. And every morning, she'd listen to Elvis while she made lunches and got everyone packed off good and early. But one morning, there was no music. Elvis was dead. He was only 42, and it was terrible.